This is Todd Wright, and this is the Toddcast. It is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm. I had the pleasure of playing once again on the Brandon Legal Group team in a very nice and well-organized, and I complimented a number of the ladies who worked this charity golf tournament yesterday. It's a group called the Community Roundtable out of Brandon, Florida. We played at the lovely, well-manicured, and GM'd, if that's a term. Troy Person runs Buckhorn Springs. I have hosted there with the Todd Wright Tour and hope to host there again. Anyway, we had a good time. I played with three employees from Brandon Legal Group, one of the lawyers, the accountant, the marketing guy. They're good people who work at this full-service law firm. And you do not need to have your legal issue originate within the city of Brandon, Florida, to call Brandon Legal Group and ask for assistance. Again, full service law firm. You don't need to ask, well, do they specialize in this particular type of law or this particular type of law? Full service. 844-4-BLG-4-ME. 844-4-BLG-4-ME. Brandon Legal Group, proud supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. And we had a good time playing yesterday. My congratulations to Colin Cunningham from Brandon Legal Group on the shot of the day yesterday. Amazingly, it didn't even touch a golf club, but it was fully legal within the rules of the golf tournament of the Community Roundtable. So, well-run event yesterday. Nice to see Troy at Buckhorn Springs, where I hope to host sometime again in the fall. I hosted the Todd Wright Tour Championship there last summer. Second Toddcast of the week, and I guess we jinxed it. Because in talking about a proposal that has since been voted down by the National Football League owners against a 7-1 recommendation from the competition committee on an offensive play once per game being used to replace the onside kick, which in the new rules of safety with five players to the left, five players to the right of the kicking team, the onside kick last year failed 92.5% of the time. I can't tell you I guess it worked once. I'm guessing it was 1 for 20. I can't tell you the one that worked and why. I'll have to find it. But I talked about how in Greg Schiano's tenure, very short one, as a National Football League head coach, he floated the concept of replacing kickoffs, which the NFL basically wants to do anyway, with a punt play, and it would punts alleviate injuries more than kickoffs because there are fewer high-speed collisions. The one player that is an exception, sort of isolated on an island, is the return man, but usually he's the only one deep. On kickoffs, players are not facing each other at the line of scrimmage. There's a 10-yard gap. And then players are spaced out over various lengths down the field. So Schiano just said, well, if they're going to eliminate kickoffs, then we should do a punt play on a change of possession. And if a team chooses, they can go into an actual play formation. And if they achieve the required yardage, they maintain possession, which basically this 4th and 15 concept employed, while taking out the possibility of a punt. You could just simply kick off. So I always thought Schiano had a good idea there, that he was ahead of the curve, that it would at least allow for some form of a return on a change of possession, which is part of the fabric of American football. And now it would make more sense because it allows for an offensive play. Now, one of the things that in my years on national radio, one of my favorite former player guests who actually knew how to talk said something worthwhile and was able to communicate. When I worked with Anthony McFarland as one example, Matt Bowen was very good. And Matt Bowen always made the point. He said, there's a reason why no coach practices two plays, onside kicks and Hail Marys, because of the likelihood for I remember in a Cowboy game at Texas Stadium, I know we're going back a ways here, before Jerry World, Kellen Winslow Jr., was significantly injured on an onside kick play between the Cowboys and the Browns, because you have bodies just colliding and flying at each other with kind of no regard for human life. Hail Marys, people just running into each other, jumping up. You don't care where you land. It's all about where the football is. You've just got a lot of bodies going after a ball in a small amount of space. So, that would take the onside kick out of the game. So we gave credit here on the Toddcast to Schiano for that idea. And then Schiano is in the news. So Schiano abruptly resigns as defensive coordinator of the Patriots. And no, you didn't miss it. There was no formal announcement that Schiano had even taken over for Brian Flores, who goes to Miami to be the head coach of the Dolphins, who just traded away Robert Quinn. There was no formal announcement on Schiano taking over as DC, but he had the job. And there's always been a connection between Schiano and Belichick, even going back to Schiano's days as head coach in the NFL with the Buccaneers. Schiano kind of made the mistake of trying to be too much like Bill Belichick, which might help if you've already won Super Bowls. So Greg took the advice from Bill, probably ran with it way too fast, way too much, and it ultimately led to his downfall. That all said, Schiano's abrupt resignation from the Patriots have a lot of people asking why. It's a legitimate question on asking why. The spin on this from Schiano, I'm sure okayed by Belichick and the Patriots. Belichick had a simple comment. I'm paraphrasing. We like Greg. We respect his decision. Okay. That seems to be the end of it from Bill's standpoint, which also seems to alleviate the theory that Michael Bennett came in and basically made it pretty clear that he hates Schiano more than he hates the Las Vegas Police Department. So I don't buy that Bennett pulled a power play here because I don't think Belichick would go for it. So why did Schiano step away? So the Schiano spin is spending more time on faith and family. This is an old trick, and it used to work 100% of the time. That there were things that nobody would ever question. If you needed a reason for something, doing anything, if you use the faith and family, or one of them, not just both, that most people would back off and leave you alone. It doesn't work that way anymore. The exception to this would be if we find out something is wrong in the Schiano family, which we don't wish on anybody, then it validates that reason. We don't know of anything. But using that as a spin is very commonplace. It's basically the go away, the reasons are none of your business. So until there's evidence that something might be wrong and require Greg's attention with faith and family, we have a right to speculate whether he or not. So Albert Breer, who I've talked to in the past doing national radio shows, not for a long time, but sort of a news and notes type NFL guy, he made an appearance on a sports radio station, 98.5 in Boston, and kind of signed off on Schiano's reasoning. And I like Albert, but one of the reasons he signed off on it doesn't wash with me. And the reason Breer gave was, Greg's used to autonomy from being a head coach. And obviously he wouldn't have that working for Belichick in New England. Yeah, it's been now going on 6 years since Schiano has been a head coach. 6 years since he's been a head coach. Didn't seem to be a factor in any job until now. So I wholeheartedly disagree if that's one of the reasons that an Albert Breer is giving for Schiano backing out of taking over the Patriots DC, it's invalid. Because it's not like he's coming off being a head coach. He's not. He worked for Urban Meyer. And I wonder if Urban's already making calls to put the band back together. That's one of my theories. And you're saying, well, wait a minute. Urban just stepped away. He clearly looked like he was, you know, in pain at times. And I'm sorry, Urban Meyer, with me nor with you, does not get the benefit of the doubt. There's been too many things that he has done and lied about, which is why his nickname is Urban Liar, where he does not get the benefit of the doubt on anything. Can he put together a team that wins college football games? Absolutely. Can you believe anything that comes out of his mouth? No, you can't. It might be even worse than Nick Saban, who seems to get more of that from when he openly lied about being interested in the Alabama job. You know, the way Meyer worked his way out of the University of Florida and some of the things that were covered up there about his departure, and now his departure from Ohio State. No, Urban doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. But Urban employed Greg Schiano to a high-ranking position on his staff. Maybe Urban just didn't want to be at Ohio State anymore. Maybe Urban already has his eye on another big-time job. Most have always thought that was Notre Dame. It might not be. It might be in the Pac-12. So Urban might already be making calls and saying, you know, I might need you. Would you be on board? And the time frame would be, you know, roughly around Thanksgiving, the bowl games, because that's when virtually all the college football jobs change, right? How many teams go into a bowl without the head coach who actually led them to that bowl game? Now, there are exceptions where the coach stays around, coaches the bowl game, but the move has already been announced. So my theory is if Urban's already thinking of putting the band back together and he called Schiano and said, you got to be available? And Schiano would be like, well, I'm with the Patriots. They usually play into early February. So it might or might not be likely. And Urban might said, well, is that what you want to do? And Urban can be very powerful. It's just a theory that I have. But I've run it by a few people, and no one has said it can't happen. Also, Schiano could go back to Rutgers. Now, things are a lot different at Rutgers since he last was a head coach there before going to the National Football League with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Rutgers is no longer in the Big East Conference. They are in the Big Ten. And you almost have to remind people they're in the Big Ten because they're not competitive in the Big Ten. The current head football coach at Rutgers has been there 3 years. 3 years of a 5-year contract. And the poor guy just came off a 1-11 season, and I think in his 3 years, he's won all of 3 conference games. So I think it's fair to say that unless something really significant happens the first couple months of the 2019 college football season, the current head coach of Rutgers is probably going to be relieved of his duties because he'll only have one more year left on his contract. Now, some of the other things that were different, when Schiano coached at Rutgers, it seemed like the football program got whatever they wanted. Look, I don't follow Rutgers University and Rutgers football very closely. But back then, there seemed to be a connection between the administration of Rutgers and the football program working together to kind of put that university on the map a little bit in the sport. And since then, and perhaps a reason why Schiano got out when he did, the person in the school administration, I forget if it was the school president or someone of another title, was kind of called out for some of the things that the football program got that the rest of the student body did not get, or other infrastructure at the university that did not get the same funding. So even if Greg Schiano goes back to Rutgers, it's a whole other set of circumstances. But go ahead and take a look at it yourself. It certainly looks like Rutgers is going to be in need of a head football coach probably by roughly, I'll say anywhere between November 1 and December 1, they should have an opening. And it's pretty easy to see that. Hard to make a case that Rutgers is going to be a bowl team next year. So they might already be putting out feelers for who they can get. Or Schiano put out his own and realized that that might be something he'd rather do. And that might also play to a little bit of the Albert Breer comment. That maybe Schiano, I'll paraphrase it, maybe Schiano misses being a head coach. It's not that he's so used to it, but he might miss being it. So there are a couple of my theories on why Schiano abruptly resigned with the New England Patriots. Either Urban Meyer is involved, and Urban already has his eye on his next job and wants to know who's with me, and Urban will be coaching again in the 2020 college football season, I'm thinking somewhere in the Pac-12 out west, in a conference that is basically now an okay Washington, an okay Stanford, and nothing else. The Pac-12 has no identity at all. Very winnable path to the Rose Bowl, which we know Urban likes, or the college football playoff, which Urban prefers. And there's clearly a connection between Urban and Schiano, or Schiano knows Rutgers is probably going to need a head coach, and it'd be tough for Schiano to take the Rutgers head job if he's working as DC with the New England Patriots and can't go recruit or do much of anything until, what, early February if the Patriots go back to the Super Bowl. So until further notice, I think the faith and family argument, also Greg's not getting a check. All right. These coaches like to, we all like to know where our next paycheck is coming from. These coaches actually like to have it. So Schiano, as of right now, is not getting a paycheck. That's a factor too. So faith and family, nope. I call bullshit. I have a right to amend my comment if something is presented out there about family or faith before Schiano clearly shows his cards in a path back to the sideline. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm. They service the greater Tampa Bay area, and you can call them anytime for a free consult. 844-4-BLG-4ME. 844-4-BLG-4ME. Brandon Legal Group, full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area and proud supporters of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Toddcast, and we'll talk to you next time.